Sports Desk, your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
All righty, boys and girls, here we go. 5 o'clock on a busy Tuesday night. Headlines are brought to you by our friends at VenueKings.com. Looking for tickets for the Seahawks-Titan game on Sunday. VenueKings.com can get you in the door. Check them out, VenueKings.com. Be sure and use code SOFTY at checkout for a little bit of a discount.
Unvaccinated folks.
Baseball, third time in franchise history. The Mariners are going to host the All-Star game. How about that? Jeff Passan, the first to report in 2023. The game will come here. The Mariners on Thursday at the Space Needle will hold a press conference with Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred, Ken Griffey Jr., Edgar Martinez, John Stanton, and M's President of Biz Ops, Katie Griggs.
Speaking of unvaccinated folks, can you give me that one more time?
Unvaccinated folks.
The NBA will not require players to be vaccinated prior to the season. They say they're about 85% right now. They do have a vaccine mandate, however, for both referees and full-time staff members.
Unvaccinated folks.
Mariners win last night 5-4.
Yay!
Over the Red Sox, now two out behind Boston and the Yankees in the wild card. Game two tonight, Tyler Anderson versus Nathan Eovaldi. By the way, you want to win tickets for tonight's game, text in your first and last name, your hometown, your email to 49451 right now. We'll pull a winner at 6 p.m. and give away a pair. Our 5 o'clock winner is David Hacker from SeaTac. He's no hack, he's a hacker. Wasn't that like from Canadian Bacon, the name of the nuclear weapons company?
Hacker?
I think it was
that
Hacker.
That sounds right.
David
yeah.
Hacker from SeaTac has won a pair of tickets for tonight's game, courtesy of the M's, to jump on the web and buy some right now at SeattleMariners.com. Time for John Wilner.
It's time for our weekly Pac-12 conversation with San Jose Mercury News reporter John Wilner. Brought to you by Simply Seattle. Our friends at SimplySeattle.com have the most amazing collection of all things Seattle. Seahawks gear, UW hats, and the largest selection of Sonics gear anywhere in the world. Learn more at SimplySeattle.com.
Unvaccinated folks.
By the way, with the announcement of the All-Star game coming to town, not really an announcement, more of a report. The announcement's coming in 2 days from now, by the way.
Unvaccinated folks.
How would you like to wear a 2001 All-Star game hoodie to the 2023 All-Star game? And how would you like to get one for $12 at SimplySeattle.com? Check the website right now at SimplySeattle.com and get your $12 2001 hoodie on the website right now. Well, here he is. Here he.
Hear ye. Hear ye.
Here he is from the San Jose Mercury News, courtesy of our friends at SimplySeattle.com. He'll have his Wilner's winner in a matter of minutes. He's 2-0 after nailing Cal on the points versus TCU last week. Our friend John Wilner. How are you, pal?
I'm good, thanks. How are you guys?
We are good, I guess. I mean, UW got hammered by Michigan 31-10 over the weekend. They went 20 straight drives without scoring. Everybody wants to fire the offensive coordinator, but outside of that, we're doing great. What do you make of what's happening on Montlake, buddy?
I think fans have got a lot of reason to be concerned. What strikes me is just the lack of creativity, especially in the running game. It just seems like every run is just up the, you know, over guard or center. There's not much misdirection. They don't try to stretch the field. I don't know that I look at it like the receivers who are out, that's not that big a deal. It's not like those guys were John Ross, right? So, I think it's concerning. Absolutely. I mean, they got to be taking a look at everything they did starting in January needs to be reevaluated.
Well, and the ire is being directed by Husky fans at John Donovan right now. Yes, some at Jimmy Lake, but more so at John Donovan. And, you know, let's face it, if it doesn't turn around in the next couple weeks, I mean, it could be a mid-season type thing. And I'm just wondering if that's the prudent move. Is there somebody out there that they could go get midseason for a permanent replacement, or is this just an interim situation if, in fact, it doesn't work for Donovan over the next 2 or 3 weeks?
Boy, I'm trying to think of a case where there's been a coordinator change in the middle of the season,
yep,
and the team has brought in someone from the outside.
No.
That is a tough, tough deal. Yeah, and part of Lake's calculation, and potentially part of his problem, is who on staff is capable of calling the offense? I mean, is it Huff? I don't know. I'm not sure that he's got a good fallback plan necessarily. So if he, you know, if he either demotes Donovan or they make an outright change, he's got to have a replacement. And the fact that he doesn't have an offensive background and there's no obvious candidate, I think he may be forced to keep Donovan because of that.
Well, normally it would be a guy that would be on the staff as like an advisor that would just step down and take over a coaching role, for example, like when GMs become coaches, like with Pop, right? When he fired his guy in San Antonio and he became the head coach of the team. There's nobody like that, though, in the office. Nope. And that's one of my concerns is that, my God, I mean, Peterson even had Jeff Tedford as an advisor, and he was Chris Dan Peterson. Mario Cristobal's got two head coaches on his staff. Jimmy Lake doesn't have anybody like that. And I said this after the game Saturday. I think he needs a little more seasoning on his coaching staff, especially on the offensive side. Is that fair?
Oh, I think it's completely fair. And I think, you know, I don't know what went into the Donovan hire, but, I mean, to me, it was kind of telling, right? I mean, it's tough for a first-time head coach to be willing to hire someone who has been a head coach to work under them because, you know, it's, you know, you're worried you'll lose your job to that person, right? To be honest, but I think it is a huge issue up there. You know, if Lake had an offensive background and they're, you know, and they had to make a change on defense and Bob Gregory had been just a position coach, Bob Gregory is the kind of guy who could fill in on an interim basis. There is no Bob Gregory. There's no Jeff Tedford. You know, Arizona changed defensive coordinators last year in the middle of the season, and they brought, you know, they used one of their analysts, Chuck Cecil, who, you know, was an All-American. He stepped into the coordinator role, but like you said, there's nobody on the offensive staff, and that's telling, and I think that that's a big change that Lake's going to have to make for next year.
It was mentioned in the Husky Honk show. I think Cam Cleland mentioned it a few moments ago where he said, oh, this is a get-right game for the Husky offense. And I don't know, John, is it a get-right game? I mean, this Arkansas State team gives up 35 points just, you know, they wake up in the morning giving up 35 points. So can you tell anything from the Husky offense if they score 35 or 40 against Arkansas State?
Boy, I think that you saw a little bit of rhythm in the second half against Michigan, right? Yeah. It was a little bit better. Now, how much of that was Michigan had at that point? It was what, 24-7, maybe? I don't remember. But Michigan was clearly backing off a little. But they did get into a rhythm. So it's possible that that carries over this week. It's not a very good defense that they're facing. So that's, you know, I would say that I think there's a good chance that that could happen, but I also think you shouldn't read too much into it if it does.
Yeah, it was 24-3, John, in the fourth quarter when things started to turn around for UW, kind of reminiscent in some ways of the Ohio State Rose Bowl when the game was over and the Husky offense kind of started, you know, to come back. So, you know, look, I mean, I'm with you. I don't know if there is anybody. Maybe Scott Huff could do it. Maybe Donovan figures things out and they keep him on the rest of the year and maybe he climbs out of this whole thing. I just kind of feel like once coaches get into that zone, it's really hard to get out of it, and there's some negativity around the program right now that has to be addressed. So we'll see. I mean, there's only one option this weekend, and that's to blow Arkansas State out of the water, beat Cal, beat Oregon State, and go on a long winning streak. But John Wilner's with us, and, I mean, Oregon goes to Columbus, and they win big. I don't know. You tell me. Is this a legitimate national title, Final Four contender now?
I think they are a legitimate playoff contender, absolutely. Largely because they bought themselves a ton of margin for error, right? They can now afford a loss in the Pac-12, mm-hmm. right? If you think back to the Washington and Oregon games against Auburn to start those back-to-back seasons in 2017 and 18 or 18 and 19, the problem with losing that game is then you kind of have to go undefeated in the conference to have a shot at the playoff because a two-loss team has never made the playoff. Now Oregon has got that win over Ohio State, and they're entering conference play without a loss. They could lose to Washington. They could lose, you know, to Utah, and they're still going to be in the playoff mix. The great comparison for them is Oklahoma. 2017, Oklahoma also won in Columbus early in the season, lost a Big 12 game, and then easily made the playoff as the number two seed. So that, to me, that's the big thing, is Oregon's got a bunch of margin for error now in conference play.
John, your initial reaction when you found out Clay Helton's no longer the coach of USC?
Well, I was surprised because of how quickly they moved on it. You know, we've kind of gotten used to USC's administration doing nothing.
Yeah.
But right. This is a little bit of a new era for them. Their athletic director hadn't even been on the job 2 years. And so I certainly wasn't surprised in terms of, does he deserve to get fired? He should have probably gotten fired 3 years ago, right. And they didn't do it. But the timing, you know, after the first loss, it was a terrible loss, but we've seen them have bad losses before and do nothing. So I guess I was kind of lulled into sleep and thinking that they would not do anything, but this is a little bit of a different era for them, and I think it was the smartest move they could have made.
Well, I guess my question would be, if you're going to fire him after two games, why not fire him in March, for God's sakes, over the offseason? And, I mean, you're basically wasting a year, right, by allowing him to coach into the season, you know, unless you're giving Dante Williams a realistic shot at looking at that job. We've heard Eric Bieniemy's name. We've heard James Franklin, his name, Luke Fickell's name. I just flushed the Chris Peterson thing. That's ridiculous. There's zero chance that happens. Well, not zero, but 0.00001 chance that that happens. Cristobal's on the list. I mean, if you had to handicap it, who's your favorite in the clubhouse to get that job?
Boy, I don't know if I got a favorite. I think Luke Fickell does make a whole lot of sense because USC's athletic director, Mike Bone, hired Fickell at Cincinnati. Bone was at Cincinnati before he moved to SC. He hired Fickell, 4 or 5 years ago. Fickell's done a tremendous job. So there's a natural connection there. Fickell does not have any West Coast recruiting ties. So that's a question. I totally agree with you about Peterson. I think there's no shot there. I think there's no shot on Cristobal, no shot on Bieniemy. I don't know which way they're going to turn. You hear a lot of names. So Bob Stoops, Bill O'Brien, Matt Campbell at Iowa State, Tony Elliott, the Clemson offensive coordinator. I'm not sure any of those. At this point, I would probably pick the field.
Well, that's weaseling out.
Yeah.
Well,
come on.
Tell me more about Cristobal, because both you and Canzano say no on Cristobal. Why wouldn't he go to USC from Oregon?
Well, I mean, from his standpoint, I just think he's probably looking at it like, how's it going to get better for me? And it could only get worse, probably, because, I mean, he's got a two-time conference champ, and he's got a playoff contender.
Well, he can live in Malibu instead of Eugene.
Yeah, but a lot of people would rather live in Eugene. And I think that that's the case with his family. SC, it's a different job. You got to deal with the L.A. stuff. You got to deal with the Hollywood stuff. And it's not for everybody. And living down there is not for everybody. So I think he's got Oregon going so good that he doesn't feel like he needs to. If it comes to money issue, Oregon will match. Mm-hmm. And I'm also not sure that USC would want to hire him. I don't know for sure, but I just don't know about that.
Yeah, what about the situation in Pullman? You know, I mean, you would think that this vaccination thing, we'd be beyond it now, but the certain members of the media that cover the team just won't let it die. I mean, Chris Daniels was all over it. Obviously, a couple days ago, you saw the press conference, you saw the clips, and I thought he looked uncomfortable talking about Rolovich now. I thought he looked kind of, out of his element a little bit. I thought he looked kind of weak, honestly, as the head coach of Washington State. But what do you make of what's happening out there? Because that deadline's coming up in a few weeks now.
It is. Now, the deadline, the October 18th deadline is to be fully vaccinated, right?
Yes, yes.
So if you back, I mean, I don't know if he's getting Pfizer or Moderna or Johnson & Johnson, but he certainly has got to get that first shot really soon. I don't understand why he won't say anything. He's just digging a hole deeper for himself. He's making the whole situation more uncomfortable for his university. It's just, he just doesn't seem to get the fact that he is a public face and he can't get away with taking the approach he's taken. And quite frankly, I think that there's a real chance that they may make a change. If they have a bad season, he's just given Washington State an excuse to fire him if they have a bad season.
Well, John, this is week number 3. And in week 1, Fresno, Oregon, Wilner's winner. Week 2, TCU, Cal, Wilner's winner. What is week 3? Make us 3-0.
I didn't want to give it away earlier, but I like the Huskies.
How much are they given?
I think it's 16 or 16.5.
Yeah, that'd been about 30 a couple weeks ago, huh?
Yeah, it would have. The big thing for me is Arkansas State gave up 55 to Memphis. So I'm looking at it like Washington's defense is going to show up, right? They're going to play well, and the offense has got a chance to continue a little bit of that momentum from the fourth quarter in Ann Arbor against a weak defense, and they're going to get some rhythm. They're going to start feeling good. The defense is going to create some turnovers.
Right.
Arkansas State is going to struggle to move the ball, and it's going to snowball in Washington's favor. Now, I don't think that it's necessarily something that will be a signal of a long-term change.
Right.
I think it is very possible it could be, a little bit deceiving.
Right.
But I expect this. I think that there's going to be at least a one-week bump here in the Huskies' favor.
Yeah, they're given 16.5, and the total is 57.5 in this game. So I might even consider it over as well.
I think Arkansas State's, 14, 17 points against that defense.
Yep.
And if Washington's moving the ball, then the defense can rest. It yep. won't feel under pressure, like it can't make a mistake.
Right.
And it's just going to – everything's going to start rolling. I'm looking at, 35-17, 35-14, something like that.
Gotcha. All right, well, UW minus the points is Wilner's winner of the week. So we'll see if you get to 3-0. All right, dude, great stuff, man, and we'll talk in a week. Appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks a lot,
Thanks.
Guys.
You bet. John Wilner with us from the San Jose Mercury News, courtesy of SimplySeattle.com, where keep an eye on their Twitter account as well, because there could be some news on some Kraken jerseys coming from Jamie
on the website.
I do say. So let's do this. We're going to break, and we're going to put our partner here, Jackson, on the spot.
Oh,
coming up
boy.
Next right here on 950 KJ.